Okay, well, I want to just continue because, you know, I have all these things to... I think that I have 11 pages of notes, but I don't know if it's because I have a big font. So I think I just better get started, right? So here in Titus 2, we can pick up again where we left off. We're reading here now about what the older woman should encourage the young women to do. And I read this already, but I'll leave it again. They may encourage to teach the encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, to be pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. And the reason then? So that the word of God will not be dishonored. So, we'll start with the first thing here. Encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. So we can see that loving your husband and children is to be a priority. And I think I already did mention that maybe you don't have a husband or children, but I think it's still very important for all women to know what the scripture says about this relationship of husband and children. Because we all have married friends, and we all have, or often in the church, we have relationship with children, and so it's just good for us to know and to be reminded of what the scripture says here. So we shall love when we are supportive and when we are giving. We love our families when we are there to cook, when we clean, when we shop for groceries, and when we're generally prepared. But I'll read about loving your husband what Ephesians 5:33 says. Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. So the husband is supposed to love his wife. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Isn't that interesting? The husband needs to love his wife, but a wife should show respect to her husband. And here I think we can say that this is in the idea of looking up to or honoring him. And I just try to think of a few ways that you can show respect as a wife. One thing is noticing what he does or what he accomplishes. There are times, I think, when Christian does things for me and I kind of just take it for granted. But I do try to notice the little things that he does for me. And I think that's a way of showing respect to him. He's very kind to me in that in the mornings, we usually start the dishwasher at night. And so in the morning, my husband is an early riser. He loves to get up before everyone else. He likes to read his Bible and sit in the living room when no one else is awake. And so anyway, when I get up in the morning, the dishwasher is always unloaded. I use this word always. It almost every day he unloads the dishwasher for me. And, you know, I'm like, just after breakfast I can put the dishes in. Kind of like this is to be expected. But every now and then I try to remember to say, thank you, honey. Thank you, sweetie, for unloading the dishwasher, because it's a thing of service that he does for me. And I could very easily just ignore that every single day. And it wouldn't be very nice, though. So anyway, I think that's just an example of noticing the things that he does. I think that you can respect your husband and love him by making him your career. Now, I'm sure that each of us, you know, that are wives have some sort of career. I mean, we've learned something, or, you know, could make money in some way. But I think that having your husband as your main job is a way to show respect and love to him. He's my job, and loving your husband is not just saying it. You don't just say, I love you. It's doing it. Although I do think it's important to say I love you. It's more than just greeting him after work, even though I think that's very important. I need to show my husband love by serving him and with my whole behavior. And I really don't mean to be doing something as a show. I'm not talking about doing things that are like, you know, a fake external thing. I mean, just trying to make your husband the main priority of your life. My girls, when they were like teenager age, they would talk about their best friend. And, you know, they had to talk to him on the phone every day, or they would write each other notes, and they would really be together quite a bit. Our daughter Katrina and her best friend, they actually had her friend's family got so tired of Katrina calling on the phone that they made the phone, when our phone number called that number, it had a different ring, so that they would just say, Hannah, answer the phone, it's Katrina. So, but I think, you know, that girl knew that Katrina was her best friend. And I think that in our marriages, there should be no question that we are each other's best friend. And I don't mean that we're all, you know, like gossiping or being silly. I don't mean that. I just mean being that faithful friend that is there. I want Christian to know that if he doesn't feel good, you know, if he has a sore throat or something, he can come and tell me. I want him to know that when something happens at work, that he can call me. I want him to know that he can depend on me. If he tells me something that he doesn't want anyone else to know, that he can depend on me not to talk about it with other people. You know, those kind of things that you tell a best friend. I want my husband to know that he can trust me, and that I am there for him. I'm not a wishy-washy best friend, you know, like sixth grade girls. Like one week you're friends, and then the next week you're like, oh, no, I don't like you anymore. In a husband and wife relationship, you need to be there through thick and thin. And when, you know, you give your marriage vows, you say that through richer or through poorer, at least, you know, in the old-fashioned wedding vows, you would say that. And that is what needs to be our attitude in this love relationship. I need to make sure that my husband knows that he is more important than my other family. That means he's more important to me than my parents. He's more important to me than my sister. Or a lot of times women in my age, a lot of times their children get to be way more important to them than their husbands. So we need to make sure that that is not the case. And it doesn't mean that other people are not important to us. That's not what I'm saying. It just needs to be like our priority is this relationship. And if you don't do this yet, I think it's very important to share about our other relationships with our husbands. And I don't mean that, like if Allison and I are very close friends, that she tells her husband everything that I say. But it's more that he is aware that we have a relationship. And I think that that protects us also in any ungodly relationships with other men. That means that if I talk to someone after church, and say there's a visitor from on our church in Berlin, and I talk to this man after church, you know, I'm not afraid to talk to men, but I don't want to have any private relationships that Christian doesn't know about. So, you know, I talked to someone last Sunday after church, and we were talking about, he had a question about of theology in our church. Christian wasn't there, but as soon as Christian got home, I told him about that conversation. So, you know, I don't want to make it seem like Christian doesn't trust me. That's not the case. But I think that being very open about our relationships is a protective thing that we can do in our relationships. Yeah. I think it's important to us as wives. I don't know if it's so much for, you know, the older women anymore, but for young women, sometimes it's very easy to share private things with your mother. And I think we need to be careful not to share unkind things that say, Christian hurt my feelings. I don't know. Maybe I made like this amazing lasagna, and he says, oh, you should have put more salt in it. And I'm like, he hurt my feelings. So I would go and tell that to my mom, and then my mom is upset at Christian, you know. So I think that we need to be careful, if we talk to our mothers about our relationship, that it would be about good things in our relationship and not about things that might be hard for her to forget. So I think it's good when we have good relationship with our mothers. I love my daughters. I love that they talk to me. But, you know, we talk about what books we're reading. We talk about, you know, what they're doing with their children. We talk about exercise. We talk about what we're cooking. I do not want to hear my daughters complain about their husbands. And I know that they have things that they probably want to complain about. But it's not healthy for my relationship with my son-in-laws. And so I'm just issuing a little word of caution to us as women. Be careful not to complain to your mom about your relationship. I think it's very important. Another way you can love your husband is to be also focused on him. It's good to know what his responsibilities are. Know his responsibilities at work. Know what his goals are. Like, I have a very goal-oriented husband. He's got his one-year plan. He's got his five-year plan. And he has a 10-year plan. I am not kidding you. He likes to plan work things. He plans what he's going to teach. He likes to plan vacations. I grew up in a family that does not plan. So when we were first married, it was like, he's so stressful. Mm-hmm. But I found that it really, really encourages my husband when I listen, when he's talking about goals and plans and things that he wants to work on. So I think that that's important to most men. Although I know that men are not all the same. But I think that I have a task from God. And if you are a married woman, you have a task from God. And that is to be your husband's helper. In Genesis chapter 2. There is a verse that tells us what you are to be. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So God, you know, sometimes when we were first married, I would say, oh, I'm not good enough for Christian, or I can't, you know, I can't do what he wants, or, you know, because he is actually a trained cook. He's a chef, and he worked in a very large hotel in housekeeping. He was the manager of housekeeping stuff, so he knows how to be an amazing cook. He knows all about cleaning. He knows, like, how to get dust off of the tops of the light fixtures, and he knows how to clean carpets, and he knows how to fold this and that. Like, he knows how to do everything household, and I'm thinking, you're so much better than me at this. Like, I'm not good enough. And but he reminded me a lot of times that God gave him a helper that's suitable for him. So he said, "You're the perfect woman." I did need to learn some things about cooking. I did need to learn some things about cleaning. But the reason this task that God has given each of us, if we have a husband, is to help our husband. I don't need to help any other men on this world. I need to help Christian. And I am the best one for it. Now, for you unmarried ladies, think about the fact that you might have a future husband. And at that point, it will be your job to help him. And so, anyway, in case you're thinking that I don't need to learn this, it could be in the future. I think as married women, one of the ways that we can help to love our husbands is before you make a decision, ask yourself, will this help Christian? Or I'm thinking Christian. Will this help him? What decision would he make? So I like to discuss my decisions with Christian, because I made enough decisions where I didn't make the right decisions. So I prefer to talk to him before I make big decisions. Now, he completely trusts me with, you know, our household stuff. But we kind of made a deal with each other when we were first married that if we would spend over a certain amount of money, that we would talk to each other first. So that means, you know, I don't see something amazing on the internet and say, "Oh, I need to order this." I ask him first, and he does the same for me. I love it when he asks for my advice. I love it when he says, "Well, what do you think about this?" Even when it comes to church things, I love that we have that kind of relationship. So I know that he feels respected and loved when I ask his opinion too. And there's a lot of times when I'm talking, when I'm talking to him about like a counseling situation where I'm not sure how I should be helping somebody, I'll, you know, if she's told me I don't really want Christian to know about this, then I wouldn't say it, you know, who it is. But I think most of the time, if I don't know how to answer somebody, I'll say, "Is it all right if I talk to Christian about it?" And I've actually never had anyone say, "I don't want him to know." But anyway, I appreciate his advice and his opinions. He knows the Word of God very well, and so I can depend on him there. So I just have a list, and I'll try to read it off quickly because we have a lot of other things here to talk about. But how can I make my husband a priority? So I put this list together, and some of it's a little bit repetitive, so just, you know, listen and pray for him daily. I think you can pray for his work, for his spiritual gifts. Pray for his responsibilities as a father or as a son or that kind of thing. So pray for him daily. Plan for him daily. I like to think, okay, how can I help Christian today? What things can I do to help him? I like to cook. I told you, but he's a cook himself. So in our relationship, I do like to ask his opinion about what he would like to eat. There's a lot of men that do not care what their husband or what their wives cook. My husband likes to be involved in that. So a lot of times I'll talk to him and ask him about that. So I do plan for him. When we had children at home, we would plan time for us to be alone. Now, I know a lot of people do not think this is very romantic, but if you're a busy person and if you have a busy family, you can go for months without having time to talk alone. So Christian and I would plan a couple of times during the week where we would talk. It was very, very helpful for us. We like to do that sometimes in front of our children, for those of you that have little kids. I think it's very healthy for children to see their parents talking. And so sometimes we would sit on the couch, and Christian would usually tell the kids, nope, you can't talk to Daddy right now. You can't talk to Mommy. You can just play. Because he wanted them to see us talking and for them to see that our relationship is a priority. Every now and then, I mean, we didn't do it all the time. You know, we would go out in the evening sometimes and have a babysitter. But sometimes, you know, we didn't have money to go out. So I would feed the children early and put them to bed. And sometimes, you know, kids, they have this like sixth sense where they know that Mommy and Daddy are eating something special at night. So they'd be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We'd say, stay in bed. It's our date night at home. So anyway, it was, I think that's part of planning. And I think it's very romantic when my husband plans an evening for us to go out. But I think it's every bit as important for a woman to plan for this as well. And that means that you can't wait until 7 o'clock and say, okay, I don't have anything to any food to fix, or maybe the house is kind of disorderly. So on those evenings, I would, you know, we didn't let our kids watch TV or movies very much, but on those evenings, I would let them watch something so that I could get my house cleaned up. And it would be, you know, a little more like a date evening because the house is orderly. I have something special for food. And then I would get the kids, give them a bath and put them to bed. And then we could have our time alone. I also think for planning for him, I think it's a good idea, or it makes a husband feel special when he comes home from work. If the entire house is a huge mess, he's thinking, okay, it's been a rough day. And sometimes that happens, and that, you know, is part of life. But if possible, I mean, nowadays people have cell phones, so your husband can call you before he comes home. But when we were first married with little kids, there were no cell phones. So, you know, you're thinking, okay, he's going to be home maybe in the next hour. So I would tell the kids, okay, you know, for a lot of years, we had four children, so a lot of years I had a playpen in the corner of the living room. Is that what you call them nowadays, a playpen? I don't know if people even use them anymore. Mm-hmm. But we used to use playpens, you know, it kind of keeps one kid safe inside that thing. But I would say, okay, put all the toys in there. So maybe there's toys everywhere in the whole living room, but if they're all in one little corner, it doesn't look as messy. So that was one of my ways. I also had music that I would put on that was like this Greek music that was super fast. So I'd put on this CD and the kids would be running around picking up toys. And anyway, it was one of the ways that I tried to made it look like I was planning my day, that Christian was coming home. So I think a third thing on my list here is try to please him. You know, we've, as adults, two of our daughters have gotten married. You can see how a young woman is when she is dating and, you know, in falling in love and then engaged. Like, on those evenings when our daughters would spend time with their fiance, you know, they would get ready for an hour and be all pretty, and you could tell that they were doing things to please them. They would, you know, make little gifts and, you know, specifically thinking of, you know, what can I do to make him happy? Well, a lot of times when marriage is going down the line, you kind of forget to do special things. So I think just try to think of what you can do to please your husband. I've read this quote from Martin Luther. I don't know if it's 100% from Martin Luther, but it says, see that the wife makes it so her husband wants to come home, and the husband should live so that his wife doesn't want him to leave. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? Yeah. So on both sides, you want to just live in such a way that your spouse wants to be around you. There's like this one little thing. I know that Americans don't do this at all, but Germans like to have what they call Kaffeetrinken. Like they drink coffee on Sunday afternoon, which means, or maybe any afternoon, but usually on Sunday at about 3 o'clock or 3:30, they have coffee with some sort of cake. And I'm thinking, they make such a formal thing out of it. But it's actually a very nice thing. You know, they set the table, they use real coffee cups, and, you know, a lot of times there'll be a candle on the table. And I have found that my husband loves it on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon. If I've baked something, it can be a simple thing. It doesn't need to be anything elaborate. But he really likes it if I've planned that special time. And the more we did it, the more our kids loved that too. So, I don't know. I think it's just good that every woman knows what little things she can do to please her husband. Protect your time with your husband. I think I already said that. It's very important that you love your husband in your physical relationship. I think it's very important that we are reminded that God has planned the physical relationship for both of your refreshment, and it is a God-given gift, and we should not forget it. This is important, I'm sure, for every single man, but in a marriage relationship, you are the only one who can serve your husband this way. So please don't forget that. We don't want anyone's husband to be tempted when we can be serving him in that way. Another idea is react to your husband in a positive way. So for most of us to respond in a positive way has to do with practice. So that means I think it's very easy to make a list of all the things that my husband does wrong. Like I already mentioned that, you know, if maybe he walked through the house without taking off his shoes, or maybe he left the door to the laundry room open, or I don't know. A lot of times it's silly things. But practice noticing the things he does right. This is, I think, a very practical way to love your husband. And then pray. I know, when I'm talking about praying, I'm not talking about sitting down or kneeling, which, you know, it's a good thing to sit down and or kneel when you pray, but just practice praying throughout the day. Pray, you know, when you look at your watch and it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you say, oh, I know he has a meeting at 10:15. Just pray for him as you are walking through your house. Pray for him before he comes home. Pray for him that he would drive safely. Pray for him at work. Pray for him for his work relationships. Pray for him when he doesn't get enough sleep. Pray for him when he's not feeling well. Pray for him in your marriage relationship. It really is a very loyal thing for a wife to do, is to be praying for her husband in all these different areas. And I think especially when he has some difficulties going on in life, just pray for him. You can pray more. A lot of times, you know, men don't share their difficulties with their other man friends. So if he has shared an area in his life where he is struggling, just pray for him, because he may not have shared that with anyone else. So, and I already mentioned this, but do you know that you are really helping your children when you show love for your husband? It gives your children a feeling of security. You know, there was a time when our son, I think, was in 10th grade. I don't know how old are 10th graders. Like, was he 16 or something like that? 15 years old. Where Philip told us that in his with his group of friends, that four of his friends' parents were getting divorced at the same time. Because I heard Christian mention it to the men when he was teaching earlier that, a lot of times parents think that when they have older kids, that it doesn't matter if they get divorced, because they think if other kids are old enough now, they can deal with it. But do you know that when you love your husband, it helps your children to feel secure and safe. They're not going to be thinking, Philip was never thinking, oh, maybe my parents will get divorced too. He never could think that, because Christian and I did not argue or fight, and we spent time together. So to love your husband is also to love your children. Isn't that wonderful? It's really good when your children see that you're friends. It's good, you know, sometimes there is tension in your home, right? Maybe Christian and I were, I don't know, bickering about something in the kitchen because I put too much salt in something. But you know what? When Christian and I bicker in front of our kids, we would turn around and say, I am very sorry, will you forgive me? Or Christian would be the first one to say, Cheryl, will you forgive me? And then he would turn to our children and he would say, children, will you forgive me? I should not have spoken to your mother like that. It was very kind of him. But that's training your children how to deal with a disagreement. Because, you know, we're sinners. We know that we're going to, and we're egoistic. So we know that we're not going to always be treating our husband the perfect way. But if we're willing to deal with these things in a good way, we're training our kids then how to deal with disagreements. So I talked about here loving your husband. And you know what? There's a lot of good books about how to love your husband. So you can read those books as well. But here it says that we should train the younger women to love their children. So I was just jotted down some thoughts here. I think that it's very important for us to think loving thoughts about our children, to be thinking friendly and gentle thoughts, not to be harsh. You know, kids can be very irritating. They do the same thing over and over that's the wrong thing. Like maybe I've corrected my children. I've said, do not argue with each other, or you need to share this toy. And then, you know, the next day they're arguing over the same toy again. So a lot of times when children just do the same thing repeatedly, it can be irritating. And as mothers, we can get kind of harsh with them. I think we need to train ourselves to be gentle with our children. You know, sometimes when we're out and about in life, I hear someone at the grocery store that's being very harsh with their children and speaking words with them with a harsh tone of voice, or using harsh words. And I always think, oh, that's so sad. But, you know, maybe if there had been somebody watching me at home, maybe I would do the same thing. But I think that we can train ourselves to think, you know what? They're just children. I need to train them. How many times have I sinned against the Lord and he's still kind to me? How many times have I had a bad attitude and God is still kind to me? So let's practice being mothers who have kind and gentle thoughts. Mothers need to be very sacrificial with their love, always putting others first. I think, you know, it's kind of like this abrupt change of life. You know, if you are a single woman, then you get married, and then it's a wonderful time, then you are expecting a baby, and then all of a sudden you have this new baby who needs to eat all the time or drink milk. And so I think women that have had a few children, you know, you get better at it. You kind of can manage things. I think we can see some women can juggle cooking for a group or having guests and still nursing the baby. That's amazing. But sometimes when you have your first child, you're like, all I ever do is serve. All I do is cook. All I do is clean. All I do is nurse. All I do is change diapers. But it is just a wonderful way for us to learn to be sacrificial with our love and to be putting others first. And we do need to make decisions as a mother when we are loving our children. We need to make a decision, do I have time for the Bible in my life or not? Now, I do not think that women who have new babies are going to be, you know, reading through the Bible in a year. I think a lot of times your Bible reading is going to be short. But you can still read some. Maybe you're not going to have a time to pray for a half an hour or an hour. But try to pray some. Pray when you're nursing your baby. Pray when you put your children to sleep. I used to put my kids in bed, and then I would pray a lot of times, I think even to quiet them down, I would sometimes pray for 15 or 20 minutes. And my kids knew that they were not allowed to talk when I was praying, so a lot of times they would just fall asleep. So it was my way that I would finally have a chance to pray, but I would be putting my children to bed at the same time. There are times when young mothers do not have a chance to read their Bible. But you know what? I would take out my little children's Bible and I would put kids on my lap and I would read the children's Bible, and you know, I would explain way more to the children than was written on that little page, because sometimes there's only two or three sentences on a children's Bible, right? But I would explain way more to them because I do have Bible knowledge. Maybe I didn't have time to read my Bible, but I could be rehearsing in my mind with my children things that I already knew from the scripture. So women, if you have children and you're a busy mom, use your time of reading the Bible with the children. Don't think that that's nothing. Use the time to meditate on the Word of God. I know it's difficult, but the question is God's Word a priority for our family? And if the answer is yes, which it should be, then you need to fit it in somehow. Somehow. So how can I love my children? Pray for your children. Pray that their faith, that they would come to faith. Pray that they would grow. Pray for their friends. Sometimes when you have little kid, you know, little children, you're thinking of praying for their friends. But you can be praying for their future friends. You can pray for their future spouses. You know how important friends are for teenagers and young adults? It is such a big thing. And I, you know, I don't want to blame the sin of my children on other people, but I do know that my children's friends had a big impact on their lives, and it was not always a good impact. So pray for your children's friends. Another way we can love them is just taking care of their needs. Do you know that children usually do not care if the toilet is clean? Children do not care if your living room is a mess. They do not care, really, if they wore the same underwear every day. Usually, they don't care. Do you know what they care about? They care about if you make them food. Because hungry children can be very difficult. They care about the fact, or they care if their mom has a bad attitude. So mommies are here, or future mommies, you make sure that you provide food for your children, and please have a happy spirit. I used to think to myself, and I learned it from someone else, none of these ideas are really my own. But I would look at this in my mind, and I thought, happy mom equals happy children. It's like a little math. That's math that I can understand. Happy mom equals happy children. So remember, I'm not saying that you shouldn't clean your toilets or that you should not clean up your house, because I think it is important. But for your children, the most important thing is that you are happy and that you provide them with food. I do think it's very important for you to make sure that your children have good sleep and a good schedule. Because kids that don't sleep enough, they're also whiny. I know that I think in the long run, children that don't sleep enough, I think it can have health issues, right? I mean, I don't know all the medical ways that that can work out, but I think it's important for the mom to be in charge. A lot of times nowadays, people think whatever the child wants is best for him. Do you know that children are not wise? I mean, they do have a mind. A lot of times they know what they want, but children are not wise. So mommies, you need to be wise. You need to plan for your children, make sure that they get good nutrition and have a good schedule. And I'm not talking about like every minute, you know, you have to plan it. I'm just saying that moms need to be in charge of what their children do. I've been with some, there are some cultures where kids go to bed much later than others. We thought it was funny. We were in Portugal. This is quite a few years ago. And we went out to eat. Well, first of all, none of the restaurants were open until 8 o'clock at night, right? Because it's very hot during the day. So I think people sleep during the day. And then they wake up and they go eat dinner like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Like my kids went to bed at 7:30 at night. But so I do understand that in different cultures, there are different kind of schedules. But I think the point is that the mom needs to be in charge, not the children. So that helps you take care of their needs. It helps you to be a good mom. And I think the older your children get, you need to take time for them. There are times when you will see that your children open up and they share some deep question or something very special to them. And if you're like, okay, get to bed, come on, you know, we have to, you need to be very acutely aware of those special moments. And that's not the time then to, you know, get your kids to bed. If you notice that your child is opening up about something special, has some sort of spiritual questions, those kind of things, please take time for that. Kids don't always open up. I know me as a child, it was very, very rare that I was open with my parents. I know that that had something to do with my relationship with my parents as well. But a lot of times kids just save these special talks for usually when they're supposed to be sleeping. And I'm talking about like teenage years kind of thing. A lot of times, you know, Christian and I, when, you know, he's the early riser and I had to get up and make everybody's breakfast early. But, you know, sometimes at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, we would hear this knock on our bedroom door and, you know, a little creak and we're like, who is it? And it was one of the kids that just had something on their heart. You know, maybe there was something that was not resolved with an argument or... Sometimes, you know, they wanted to ask some spiritual question or I don't know. A lot of times children that are afraid at bedtime want to talk about those deep things at night. So I'm just saying, take time for them. When you see your child opening up, take that and run with it. So remember this again, though. Happy mom equals happy kinder. Happy children. And I think as far as us as mothers, remember that a lot of our communication is not verbal. I think, like if I am talking to children and I say, oh, that was so good. Or if something happens and I say, oh, well, that was really good. So it's the exact same words, right? But it meant two entirely different things. And sometimes mothers communicate a lot with their, like, killer looks. Are those the men? Yeah. So, anyway, I didn't finish all that I wanted to talk to you about.
They're going to go the other way.
So there's a few other things here, and I'll just talk through it very quickly. In verse 5 of Titus chapter 2, it says, to be sensible, to be pure, to be at work or at home, to be kind, and to subject to their own husbands. Now, I just wanted to remind you that it is very important to think about these things that are in the Word of God, because the way that our society works nowadays is that these things are not important. Do you know that we get trained? You know, a lot of us in this room are very well educated, but we don't get educated in these things that are obviously very important to God, because He has it here in the Word, right? Being sensible is also in some Bible translations as being self-controlled, and it means to make decisions with understanding. That's why I was talking to you about how children are not necessarily wise. They might be smart. Sometimes little kids, we can tell, he's a bright child, right? But he doesn't know how to make wise decisions yet. And we as Christian women need to be women who are sensible and can make wise decisions. You can see this in how we deal with money, how we make our priorities, how we think about clothing, how we use our tongue, how we see reality. A lot of times women are thinking in ways that are not right. They're thinking about, oh, what would happen if? What would happen if? And it's not really reality. So keep your mind on what is true, what it says in Philippians 4, verse 8. And the next word here was to be pure. Do you know what pure means? These are just some regular, I think, definitions. It means to be innocent. It's similar to being holy, which means set apart from sin. Purity, it is equal with being clean. So ladies, we don't want to have any hidden dirt. We don't want to have any immorality in our lives. We should have nothing to do with pornography. We should not be reading anything that has to do with unholy living. And women, Christian women, should be known as pure women. It also says here that we should be workers at home. Now, I think that's also not necessarily an idea today that's kind of modern, but we should be preparing, if we're not married, if you're a young woman who's not married yet, but we should be, and as a Christian woman, to be aware of the needs of our family and to take care of them, taking care of the household. And we're all probably aware of the story in the scripture about Mary and Martha, how Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was all busy in the kitchen, right? Now, we know that the kitchen work is important, but her attitude was wrong, correct? She was thinking, Jesus doesn't care about me. I'm in here working. So let's be women who are hard workers and who have this kind of attitude that we want to serve the Lord. I think that Martha is an example of someone who, like some of us, who get so busy with life that we forget that we can pray while we're in the kitchen. We forget that even 5 minutes in the scripture is better than nothing. She forgot to like write out a Bible verse and tape it by the sink in the kitchen. Those kind of things. So, what's the next? There's a lot of things about cleaning a house. You can read books about that, right? The next word here was to be kind. You know what? That just means to be friendly. It means to be very generous. That's a woman who's speaking good words, someone who is building others up. We read that already in Ephesians chapter 4. This is kind of for some people are born kind of like with happy spirits and are always being kind and gentle. But most of us are not necessarily born that way. We need to really ask for the Lord to help us to be like that. So let's practice being kind and serving in our families. And then what does it mean to submit to your own husband? The word really means to put yourself under. And I'm not a Greek person, but I read in some commentaries that the Greek word means to put yourself under in like a military rank. So, you know, you got the big top general up here, and then there's, I don't know, sergeants, and then there's, you know, on the bottom there's the privates. But in our family, because we know that the scripture says that we're supposed to be under our husband, we willingly choose to be under. Now, does that mean that God doesn't love women? Does it mean that he thinks that we're not equal? It has nothing to do with that, because Christian read at the very beginning in Genesis where God says that let us make man. I created them, man and wife, in our image. So God created us in his own image. But he has created a plan for the family, and he has the husband to be in charge, and the husband should be the supporter. I have also read that this word is similar to like a pillar that helps to hold up the roof of a house. I mean, it's not a small thing to support your husband. It's a good thing. And if you can think about a family crashing and falling apart, like a roof could fall down if the pillar is not there. It's a disaster. So God wants us to support our own husband. And the reason for all of these things is so that the word of God would not be dishonored. This is so that people can look at our families and say, that is a Christian family. That is what God wants. Or somebody looks at us and say, why is that family getting along so well? Why are they doing so well? And then if they ask you, you could say, well, we're Christians and we really try to live according to the Bible and to please God. So that would be our joy as an older woman to teach this to the younger women. And for younger women, let's be teachable people. Let's be learning from the Word of God. Let's learn from other women so that God wouldn't be dishonored. Thank you so much. Should I end in prayer? I know Christian's going to pray again, but I'll just ask God to bless this. Our Father in heaven, thank you that we can have the scripture. Thank you that you've made it even possible that we can read it and understand it. Lord, I just praise you for your perfect plan of the family. And I pray, God, for your perfect plan for women, whether we're married or single. Lord, that you would help us, that you would bless our desire to glorify you, and that you would not be dishonored, Lord, that rather you would be honored by our lives. Thank you for helping us. Amen. Amen.